Torah Zeichen Nishos Baruch Hashem Shagam Rav Yehudim Sechel Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. Mishnah said that you're allowed to use a hammer to break open nuts on Shabbos. Rechia Ba'ab and Neim Rav Yechanan says this hammer referred to in the Mishnah is even a goldsmith's hammer. Even though he's somewhat particular about its use because it has to remain smooth for the gold, he allows it to use for other uses because you can always smooth it out on an anvil and therefore it's not muksa. Rechia Ba'ab said the hammer referred to in the Mishnah is a hammer used to crush spices, which becomes disgusting if you use it for other items, but still they allow it to use for other items and therefore it's not muksa. More explains Rechia Ba'ab, who allows using a spice hammer, will surely allow using the goldsmith's hammer because they're less particular about that. Rabbi Yochanan, who allows a goldsmith's hammer, it could be he would not agree and say that a spice hammer would not be allowed to be used. Mishnah says, "Yes, a kush, yes, a karkar." Rice says, "If an unripe fig is buried in straw to ripen, or if a cookie is buried in coals to bake, if part of the fig or the cookie is exposed, you're allowed to grab onto that part and remove it from the straw or the coals on Shabbos. If not, it may not be removed." Elazar ben Tadai says, "You're allowed to stick a fig." The fig or the cookie with the weaver's tool and pull out the food from the straw or the coals and let them fall off on their own on Shabbos, the straw and the coals. Rav Nachman passing like Rav Elazar ben Tadai. The Gemara asks, Rav Nachman says elsewhere that if someone stuck a radish into the ground to ripen before Shabbos, on Shabbos you're allowed to pull it out only if it was stuck right side up since it's more narrow on the bottom than on top. So no earth will be moved when you pull it out. If it was stuck upside down, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. So over here we see that Rav Nachman does not allow any moving of earth. Gemara says Rav Nachman retracted from that ruling about the radish. Misha said, Machat shel yad litel bo v'chulu. Rava, the son of Rabbi Yosef Yosef, if a needle loses its eye or its point, does it become muktzah? He said that we learned in our Mishnah that if a needle is not muktzah because it can be used to remove a thorn. The use exists with or without an eye. Therefore, we see the loss of the eye will not make it muktzah. Yes, then a Mishnah says that a needle that loses its eye or its point loses its tumah status. It's no longer called a keli. So Abaya says, for tumah purposes, it loses the din of a keli because it's not the same keli that was created to be. But with regard to Shabbos, it's not muktzah because there is some use. Rava said, no, the question is better than the answer, because if it's not considered a kli for Torah purposes, then it should not be considered a keli for Shabbos, and it should therefore be muksa also. Mara says, the Brisa says that a needle with or without an eye may be moved on Shabbos, and an eye only plays a role in determining its tumah status. You see, Shverant on Rava, who said that really should be the same thing. Abaya answers, for Rava, the Brisa is talking about an unfinished and finished needle whose eye was never yet made. So for Torah purposes, since it's never yet a completed keli, it doesn't have a din of a keli. However, since it does have a use, like we said on Shabbos and on Mishnah, therefore it won't be muktzah for Shabbos. But once an eye of a needle breaks off, the owner throws it out, and therefore it is considered to be muktzah. Nachman said it's also to straighten out the limbs of a newborn and put it into place on Shabbos. Rav Sheish says mutter. Nachman brings a proof from our Mishnah that prohibits one from taking a drink from a Mishnah. I'm sorry, that prohibits someone from taking a drink that will induce vomiting because it's considered to be fixing the body. He allows him to eat more. The same isser therefore exists to fixing the body of a baby. Rav Sheish says that straightening out the baby is a normal thing. Giving it is as normal as giving it to eat or drink, and therefore it's mutter. However, inducing vomiting is not considered a normal thing, and that's why it's also. Rav Sheish brings a proof from our Mishnah, which allows the use of a needle to remove a thorn. So he is fixing the person. He's allowed to do it on Shabbos. Rav Nachman says, removing a foreign object from the skin, like a thorn, that's not considered to be fixing. Straightening the limbs is considered to be fixing. That's the difference. Zok the Mishnah, if the rod that's used to turn over the olives in the vat to see if they're ripe has a knot at the end, it's considered to be mekabel tumah. If not, it's not. In either case, it may be moved on Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara, this rod is a pshute kliyetz, and therefore shouldn't be mekabel tumah. The Gemara says it was taught in the name of Nechemia that if there's a knot at the end, then when he turns over the olives, some of the oil collects in that knot and becomes like a base kibble to see, and he uses it to see if it's ready to be pressed, and therefore that base kibble makes it as mekabel tumah. Zok the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says all kelim may be moved on Shabbos except for a large saw and the part of the plowing machine that makes the grooves. People are very particular about the use of these items, and therefore they place them in a designated area not to be used for any other purpose. Dr. Mar of Nachman said there was a certain device that's used in laundering of clothing that also may not be moved because people are very particular about its use. Abaya said the knife of tanners, a butcher's knife, and a carpenter's tools also, people are very particular about them, and therefore they also can't be moved on Shabbos. Abraisa says originally there were only three kelim that were allowed to be moved on Shabbos. The knife used for cutting pressed figs, the large spoon used for skimming the foam from a pot, and a regular table knife. They then permitted more, and then again more, and then again more, until they finally said that all kelim may be moved on Shabbos except for a large saw on the part of the plowing machine that makes the grooves. In fact, what does the Braisa mean that they permitted more, and then again more, and then again more, until they finally said that everything is mutter except for those three? What does that mean? The Abai says it means first they allowed a davar to use it for its own primary mutter purpose. Then they came back and allowed again a davar shemalach leheter even just for mekaymai. And then finally they came back and they said even a davar shemalach leisr is if you're using it for itself. You're allowed to move it for a hetadikah purpose, but not for tzorich mekaymai. Even then, it was only something that's small enough that you can use it with one hand, not something you can use with two hands. Until they came along and said that everything can be taken on Shabbos, even anything that fits these characteristics, as long as it has to be taken in two hands. Rava doesn't like this. He said once they're matter to move it, why would they make a difference if it's tzorich gufa l'tzorich mekaymai? They would make it allowed to be moved. So therefore, Rava understands the brayis in a different way. And initially, they were matter davish malach to leheter, whether it was tzorich gufa or tzorich mekaymai. Then they came along and they said they could even be matter it, even just to save it, to protect it, mechamal. Chalatzel. Then they came along and said, even Davish Malachta Le'Isser, Le'Tzorich Gufoy, and Tzorich Mekoymoy, you're allowed to move it, except when it comes to Davish Malachta Le'Isser, you're not allowed to protect it from going Mecham Le'Tzel. Even then, it was only mutter to something that can be carried by one person. Then they came along and said that all Kelim can be moved, even if it needs two people to be able to move it. And the other thing that can't be moved is a large saw on the part of the plowing machine that makes the grooves. By yes, we learned the Braisa that says that a grinder may only allowed to be moved. There's still some garlic in it. If not, it's not allowed to be moved. So according to Abaye, you can say it's talking about where you need a place, and that's why you can't move. According to Rav, it should be also to move. Rav will say the Braisa is discussing moving it to protect the Mechamel itself. Again, yes, from the Braisa, Rabbi Shammai, he'll agree that the meat grinder you can't move after you're done chopping meat on it. So again, Rav will say it's talking about moving it Mitzam Lechil and Mechamel itself, and that's why you're not allowed to move it. Hanina explained that this was done, this Braisa was done in the days of Nehemiah ben Chachliyah, where the Yidim were very lax regarding Hilchos Shabbos. Therefore, it caused the Rabbanim to be muktzah on everything but three kelim. When observers became stronger, the Rabbanim removed most of the Gzera piece by piece. That's the background of the basis of the discussion of this Braisa.